Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we now turn to Thy Word, we pray for the gracious help of Thy Spirit. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt still us and solemnize us in Thy presence, remove every distracting thing, and grant that we may meet with the Lord tonight. We think especially of those without Christ, men and women, young people, out of Christ, without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Oh, we pray that now as we turn to the Word of God, their hearts may be strangely stirred to think of Jesus. We pray, our God, that this night they may receive true scriptural conviction of sin and be pointed to the Lamb for sinners slain. We pray that this night Thou wilt draw souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this end now give power in the preaching of Thy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken this evening from the prophecy of Isaiah. To an American, that is Isaiah. But as everybody knows, the Ulster folk are nearer to the Jews than the Americans. And the Jews pronounce it Isaiah. So we'll have Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to commence to read it verse 22. Isaiah 43 and verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore have I profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this passage from his own word for his name's sake. The 25th verse is the text that we have taken for tonight. The message I believe the Lord has for us this evening, the subject of it, is plain and simple. It is the subject of sins forgiven and forgotten. The Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Taken out of context, this is a great verse. Taken in context, it is a most astonishing statement. When you realize that the context is one which describes and emphasizes the exceeding sinfulness of the people, how that they had wearied God with their sin, they had rebelliously refused to conform themselves to his commandments. They had gone through an empty farce in their religious observances. They had continually exhibited their depravity. The final words of verse 24 speak of their iniquities. And now immediately the Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. The forgiveness of God is always a tremendous subject. But when God's grace in forgiveness and salvation is placed against the black backdrop of man's utter depravity, carelessness, and indifference to the things of God, then the bright gem of God's grace shines all the more brilliantly. Now I want us tonight to consider this text. And I'm going to do a thing tonight which I practically never do. I don't think that I can do it. And that is, I am going to steal the outline of another preacher. I wish I could steal the sermon, but then the preacher was so brilliant, I couldn't preach his sermon. There was an old English preacher. Unfortunately, he's not much known of. His writings have almost died, although they are fairly famous to those who like to look into books. I'm referring to the Reverend H. Grattan Guinness, who once preached to great crowds in the city of London. It is estimated that in the 1859 revival in our little province in Northern Ireland, Grattan Guinness came and preached to a congregation of 100,000 people. And I have no doubt that if he had 100,000 people, that every single one of them must have thrilled to the preaching of a man whom I consider, when I read his sermons, to have been one of the very greatest preachers the English language has ever seen. A tremendous preacher. And when I read his sermon on this text, as I say, I would to God that I could preach it. But then he was one of the greatest orators England ever produced. And since I make no claim to oratory, I'll bid farewell to his sermon. But when he spoke on this text, he summed it up in four statements which I think I could never better. And that's why I'm linking all my thoughts to these four statements. The subject of the text is free grace. God's free, sovereign, saving grace. And he says free grace does four things. First of all, free grace blots out our sins from God's book. And we're going to be considering that fact tonight. Free grace blots our sins out of God's book. Secondly, free grace blots out our sins by God's hand. What a theme that is in Scripture. And then thirdly, we find that free grace blots out our sins for God's sake. Then most unspeakable practically of all, certainly far surpassing the ability of any preacher to expound, free grace blots out our sins from God's memory. I will not remember thy sins. Four tremendous statements of sovereign saving grace. Tonight we want to look at them. First of all, free grace blots our sins out from God's book. Notice the words, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. So then, our transgressions were recorded. They could never have been blotted out had they not first been recorded. The reference here is to the books of God's record. And I tell you a solemn thing tonight, that every sin of every man, of every young person, of every woman in this meeting tonight, has been recorded in the record books of God. I tell you that there is not a thought of your infant days or of your childhood years. There is not a motive that ever rose in your heart in the days of your youth. There was not a word or an action of your mature years, but that the hand of God recorded that sin. My, what a black record that must be. What a book it must be with your name upon it and with the page upon page of every foul thought,
of every unworthy thought, of every unclean thought, written down upon it, what a book it must be that has there in every detail, every motive that ever rose within your breast, every sin that ever soiled your conscience, every word that ever escaped your lips, and every deep iniquity that ever found its way into your heart. My friend, what a black and terrible book that must be. The book of the records of God. Oh, I would to God that every careless sinner would realize that there is a God in heaven. There is an all-seeing God. There is an omniscient God. And his hand is daily and diligently recording the sins of men. I would to God that every smart, clever sinner who imagines that he sins and gets away with it, who imagines that he can throw the smoke screen of religious hypocrisy around his life and hide the sins of his heart from those who know him best, I would to God that every clever sinner who feels he can sin and hide his sin would realize that there is an all-seeing God who records every sin of every description in the records of heaven. Thank God, that awful thought of sin recorded is covered here by the grace of God. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I can see God take his hand and put that hand in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that crimson tide across the black page of my record, and wash out every sin. Blot out every iniquity. Put away every uncleanness. Thank God. That is God's forgiveness. So that now God sees nothing in the record of those who are covered by the blood. He sees nothing but the blood mark. He sees nothing but the mark of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He sees nothing but the finished work of Calvary. He sees nothing but the merits of the Lamb. Thank God tonight. This is God's forgiveness. Free grace, blotting out the foul record by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's a reference to more than forgiveness. There is a reference to legal justification. The books here are the very books that would one day be opened when sinners would stand before God at the great white throne. And if God had not dealt with my soul in grace, the very books of evidence of my sin and iniquity would have been opened when I would stand before God. Thank God, in the highest courts of glory, there has been a blotting out of my transgressions, a blotting out of every believer's sin. And now, at the judgment bar of God, there is a total justification. That's the work of free and sovereign grace. Free grace, then, blots out our sins from God's book. And it blots those sins out by God's hand. I want you to emphasize the words, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, for mine own sake. The basic truth in Scripture regarding salvation is that salvation is of the Lord. The Pharisees once said a very true thing when they asked the question in Capernaum, who can forgive sins but God only? You remember there in Mark 2, the Lord Jesus had had the man let down through the roof, and the Lord Jesus bade him to rise because his sins were forgiven him. And these men said, who can forgive sins but God only? They were right. Who can forgive them? If anybody else tells you you're forgiven and God doesn't, you're not forgiven. If anybody else tells you you're all right for heaven and God doesn't, You're not right for heaven. You're still on the way to hell. No one else has the prerogative of forgiving sin but God alone. Spurgeon once said, when he thought of Roman priests who told people that they were forgiven, he said, "I have more respect for the devil than for a man that would pretend that he could forgive sins." It's the work of God, and the work of God alone. I tell you, when God forgives you, you're forgiven all right. The scripture in Romans 8 asks the question, "Who is he that condemneth?" It is God that justifieth. And when God justifies a sinner, thank God there's nothing left in the record against him. When God justifies a sinner, the devils can scream out of hell, but they'll never put anything against that man or that woman at the judgment bar of God. Let all the legions from the pit come and scream our guilt. When God puts us under the blood, and when God justifies us, thank God we're justified forever. Nothing's going to change that. It is God that justifieth, and therefore there's none who can condemn. We have been talking about the record of man's guilt and of man's sin. And I trust you have seen the picture of the hand blotting out the transgressions that were against us. What hand is that? You think of it. The Lord says it's his hand. It's the hand of God. The hand that took the worlds and flung them into their orbits in space. The hand that upholds all creation in its almighty power. That almighty hand of God. That's the hand that blots out our sin. Is there any power that can resurrect my past when the almighty hand of God hath blotted it out? No, sir. When God buries it, it's buried forever. When God blots it out, it's blotted out forever. His is the almighty hand. But I think this is a strange thing, that it's the very hand that recorded my sins. It's the recording hand that now blots them out. It's the hand of the one against whom I offended. That's why we read from verse 23, where the Lord lists our sins and our wickednesses, our offenses against him. Every sin a sinner commits is a sin against God. I wouldn't like any unsaved man, woman, or young person to sit in this meeting tonight and say, "Well, I may do the odd thing wrong against my neighbor, against my family, against somebody else, but I'm not such a bad person." I want you to know that sin is preeminently against God. Sin pits the sinner against his maker. Sin makes a rebel out of you against the throne of God's sovereignty. Sin would make you an enemy of God. The psalmist, when he sinned against Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba his wife, he said, "Lord, against thee only have I sinned." Our sin is against God. And the Lord recognizes that. He recognizes it. He said, "Therefore, since your sin is against me, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake." The hand that blots out sin is the hand of the avenger. You think of it. It's the hand that visited judgment upon Pharaoh and his hosts in Egypt. It's the hand that brought Sodom and Gomorrah down in the fires of judgment. It's the hand that visited Tyre and Sidon and sank them deeper than they ever thought any cities could go. It's the hand that visits judgment upon the ungodly. My friend, it is the hand of God the judge. And isn't it an amazing thing that free grace would take the hand that will one day fling sinners out into the outer darkness of hell and wipes out sin? Oh, thank God. He says, "It is my hand that does the blotting out." The tragedy is that it's the hand of God that's so often rejected. He says, "I have risen up early, stayed up late, and I have stretched out the hand to you." He speaks of the continual invitation. I want you to think, when first did you ever hear the gospel? When first was your soul ever stirred to think of the things of God? When first did you ever come under the sweet invitation of grace? When first did you ever be brought to think about where you would be in eternity? And ever since then, God in grace has been stretching out the hand, holding out His hands in invitation, holding out the offer of grace and mercy, holding out the way to heaven. Oh, I tell you, ever since then, you've long been spurning the invitation of grace, long been rejecting the outstretched hand of God. Every Christian in this meeting can remember the times when they rejected the Lord. And yet, mercy of mercies, it was that same hand that one day came and laid hold of us and led us to the cross. It was that very same hand that blotted out all our transgressions. I, it's the hand of the unchanging God. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Malachi 3 and verse 6. I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Tell me, if God has blotted out my sin today, will He yet condemn me for my sin tomorrow? Ah, He says, I change not. The God who forgives me today will forgive me unto all eternity. The God who covers me with the blood of Christ today will cover me unto all eternity. Thank God, in Jesus Christ, there is only everlasting life. There's no half salvation with God. There's no salvation for a little while with God. It's all or nothing. You either have eternal life or you have eternal death. You either have salvation or damnation, one or the other. But I tell you tonight, when God saves you, He saves you with an unchanging salvation. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. They're blotted out from God's book. They're blotted out by God's hand. And I want you to notice something that's not often enough emphasized in gospel preaching. They are blotted out for God's sake. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Sometimes we leave the impression that it is only because of His pity for sinners that God saves men. It's not. Oh, He does have pity for sinners, and He does save them in His love and pity. But there's a greater reason than that. I wouldn't like you to think that it is only to save sinners from the screaming torments of hell that He saves them. Oh, He does save them from the screaming torments of hell. But He has a much higher motivation for saving sinners than that. He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. We read in Scripture that of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. In other words, all things have their beginning, their source in God. All things are sustained only by His sovereign keeping power. And all things are ultimately to His glory. And I tell you this, I want you to think of it now. And if you're in the meeting tonight without Christ, a rebel against God, a rejecter of mercy, giving God, if you can, no place in your life, I want you to think of this. That every creature whom God has ever created, be it the angelic creation or the human creation, every creature will yet be to the praise of His glorious name. The devils and His angels will yet be to the praise of Jehovah. The sinners who sink down deep into hell, they will yet be to the praise of Jehovah. And I tell you, from the depths of the caverns of the damned, there will rise an unending testimony to the everlasting glory of the holiness and the justice and the power and the sovereignty of our God. I and every old atheist that has ever cursed his name and said that he didn't exist, and every rebel who lifted his vain hand against the throne of God will yet praise him. For every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee shall bow. And I tell you, whether they are angels or men, they will bring praise to the Lord Jehovah. Thank God in a preeminent way, those who are in heaven will bring praise to our God. He saves us for his own sake, or for his own glory. How can God be glorified? God is glorified by the manifestation of his own perfections. Where will the perfections of God more fully manifested than in the scheme of redemption? Would you see the eternal wisdom of God, then see it at the cross, where God took the just and he had him die for the unjust? Where can you think of the wisdom of God so clearly as when you see Jesus Christ as the substitute for sinners, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God bearing sin for us on the cross of Calvary? Oh, there you will see the glory of his wisdom. Where could you ever see the power of God so clearly as at the cross? I tell you, the power of God creating all things out of nothing is small in comparison to the power of God that's manifested at the cross. Oh, the power that laid my sins on Jesus. Oh, the power that placed his righteousness on me. Oh, the power that blotted out my transgressions as if they had never been. Oh, the power of God that lifted my dead soul into life eternal, that made a rebel into a saint and a child of wrath into a child of God. I tell you, there's power. Unmatched and unequaled power to the glory of God's name. Would you understand the glory of his holiness? My friend, you'll see it at the cross. Would you see his flaming justice? You'll see it more clearly at Calvary than you'll see it any other place. I tell you, that if God, who spared not the old world in the days of Noah, if God, who spared not Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin, if that same God would not spare his own sinless Son when he became our sin-bearing substitute, then he will certainly not spare sinners when they appear before him in their guilt. You think of it. The holiness of God, the justice of God revealed at Calvary, when he turned with judgment and vengeance upon his own beloved Son, meted out all the fury of his wrath against the Lord Jesus, even though he had no sin, because he stood bearing our guilt and our shame. Would you see the goodness of God? Would you understand the love of God? My friend, you must see it at Calvary. Oh, here you've all the perfections of God portrayed. And I tell you, when God sent Christ into the world to save sinners, he says, he did it, yes, because of his love for souls. He did it, yes, out of his pity for the perishing. He did it, yes, to save and elect people from the hell and the fires of torment that lay in store for them. Yes, thank God for his great and gracious love. But I'm telling you tonight, he did it preeminently for his own sake. When we get to heaven, it will be the Lamb who has all the glory. It will be the Lord who will have all the praise. There will be nobody there because he said, well, Lord, I wasn't as bad as some other people. There'll not be a soul there who's saying, "Well, Lord, I'm here because I was a Protestant, or because I got baptized either by sprinkling or immersion, or, Lord, because of this, that, or the other thing." I tell you, everybody there will be giving all the glory to the Lamb, all the praise to Jehovah. For He says, "I have saved you, blotted out your sins for my own sake." Then there is this unspeakably mysterious statement, "I will not remember thy sins." Free grace blots out our sins from God's book by God's hand for God's sake, but it blots out our sins from God's memory. "I will not remember thy sins." Can God forget? We would say, surely not. We learn in Scripture that even fallen men, when they drop down into hell, will remember. They'll never forget their sins. Can God then forget? I think that surely here is a tremendous heavenly truth that's put in a very homespun earthly dress that we may understand it. And the Lord accommodates the high and holy thoughts of heaven to the language of earth. But He wants us to know that our sins are gone. He says, "I won't remember them. Preeminently, I won't remember them against you. They will never be raised against you. You will never face the ghost of a guilty past when you stand before God." Why, that's what God is promising. "I will not remember them against you." He's saying, surely, that I will not punish you for them. You do not punish a person for sins or for wrongdoings that you've forgotten about. The Lord is saying, "I will never punish you for them. I have visited punishment for your sins upon the Lord Jesus. He has paid the full debt of your iniquity. He has borne the full wrath that was due to your ungodliness. I will never punish you for your sins." But I think surely the mystery deepens even more. For I believe that what the Lord is saying is, when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied in God's sight, it's just as if we had never sinned. Aye, and even better than that, it's just as if we had been personally deserving of all His favor. It's just as if we ourselves had wrought the righteousness of Christ. Now, we haven't. But He says, "When I put your sins under the blood, I'll never remember them again. They're gone." Oh, this is God's salvation. They're gone forever. And in their place, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sin." I wonder tonight, do you know this free and sovereign and saving grace? I wonder tonight, my friend, has free grace operated in your life? Do you have a conscience void of offense before God and man? Can you say, "Bless God, my sins are gone, blotted them out from His book"? I tell you, if God has blotted out your sins, you're a happy man. Blessed is the man, the psalmist said in the 32nd Psalm, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. But I tell you, if your sins are not blotted out, if that black record is still intact, and there's not a wrong thought, word, deed, motive, or attitude, but that the hand of God has noted it down in the records of heaven, if that black record is still intact, my friend, you are in dangerous ground. Oh, to appear before God a foul and filthy sinner. Aye, you might fool yourself that you're clean living, decent, upright, moral, religious, and all the rest of it. But a foul, black-hearted, rebellious, guilty, hell-deserving sinner at the end of it all. Oh, to appear before God as a sinner with your sins uncleansed, and with every sin screaming for your damnation. What a day when the books are opened. The affidavit of your own life is read out in the court of glory. And you're executed into the outer darkness of hell. What a day. What a day for people who say, "Yes, Lord, I heard the gospel. Yes, Lord, I was surrounded by praying people. Yes, Lord, I had a Bible in my hand and I had the opportunity to be saved. Yes, Lord, there were times when the Holy Spirit wrought upon my heart. There were times when I was almost persuaded. Yes, Lord, there were times when I thought seriously. But I loved my sin, and I went on in sin." What a day when sinners stand before God. My friend, remember, you will either enter into heaven forgiven to the glory of God in all His gracious love and kindness, or you'll go down deep into hell, unforgiven. But you'll still be to the glory of God in all His awful holiness and power. Oh, may God give you grace tonight to see your sin. You've offended so much. You've wearied God with your sin. To put it crudely, you could paraphrase that by saying, "The Lord is getting fed up with men's sin. You've wearied Him with your sin and your iniquity." And yet He holds out the golden message of the gospel. Oh, be saved. May God bring you to Christ, wash you in the precious blood, and make you truly and eternally His own through free and sovereign grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the amazing grace of God. We cannot begin to understand it. Poor, vile, guilty sinners, and yet Thou hast said, "I, against whom You have offended, I, whose mercy You have spurned, I, whom You have wearied with Your sin, I, even I, am He that blotteth out Thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember Thy sins." We thank You, Lord, for every saved sinner in this meeting. Thank You for every blood-washed soul. Thank You, Lord, for everyone who has passed from death unto life, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. O God, our Heavenly Father, bless Thy people, thrill our hearts, for all that Thou hast done for us through the Lamb. Remember those who are not saved. Lord, we fear for men and women, for young people, who become hardened in their sin, who keep spurning every offer of mercy. Lord, we pray for them tonight. Have mercy upon their souls. Save them by Thy sovereign grace. Even now in this meeting, give them grace to repent and be converted. Lord, there is a great need for souls to come to Christ. There is a great need for people in this meeting to quit with their sin, to quit with their rebellion, to stop their mad career to a lost eternity. Oh, God, our Father, have mercy upon souls tonight, we pray, and give them grace to flee to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do want every head bowed reverently in prayer, and we do want every believer engaged in prayer. I want, just before we close with the benediction, while you're bowed in prayer, to say a word to those of you who are not saved. Forget about your religion. It'll bring you to hell. Religion never saved anybody. It's Christ who saves. Forget about your profession. If you haven't got God's pardon, you've nothing. Where do you stand right now? Isn't it time you were truly converted? Isn't it time you were personally saved? Isn't it time you got on the way to glory? Oh, may the Lord bring you to Christ tonight. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. We're here to help you to the Savior. We have been praying today for you. We've been praying for souls in this very meeting that God and grace would deal with them. That He would forbid that you would go carelessly on to a lost eternity. We're praying for you. Aye, and far better than that, but we have a Savior who's pleading in glory. My friend, He's praying for you. Oh, that you would come to Christ. We're bowed in prayer. This meeting's almost over. Soon it will have gone into eternity. And with it, the record of what you did with Jesus. I wonder, as our heads are bowed, as we're lifting our hearts to God in prayer, will you come to Christ? Will you come to Christ? I believe that God has spoken to your soul. Come to Him. Make no delay. Trust Him. He'll save you. And He'll keep you. And He'll bless you. And He'll blot out your sin. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a life that's worth the living. And a place in glory at the end of it all. Will you come to Christ? If you will, I want you to do something. I believe in public profession of faith in Christ. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend His cause. Will you come to Christ publicly tonight before heaven, earth, and hell? If you will, where you're sitting, I'm asking you now to take the courage of your convictions and put your hand right up into the air so that I can see it and I'll acknowledge it. And heaven and earth and hell will know there's a man, a young man, a woman or a young woman. And tonight, you're coming to Christ. Let the devil roar as he will. Let the world call as it will. That person's coming to Christ. Will you come? As our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, as we're engaged in prayer, will you make your calling and election sure tonight? Will you get things right with God tonight? If you will, let me see that hand of yours. Make sure you're truly saved. Make sure tonight you've God's free grace, giving pardon and justification unto life eternal. Come now, just before we close. This is my final word of public invitation. All we want to see you saved. For your sake, and for the Lord's glory, we want to see you saved. I want to see you come to Christ tonight. Ere it is forever, tragically too late. In this final word of public invitation, let me see your hand. Why should you be ashamed of Jesus, who was not ashamed to die in agony on a cross for us? Oh, let not the world keep you back. Come without delay. I said, we're here as your servants for Christ's sake. We want to see you saved. The people here, they should raise their hand, and yet, for one reason or another, they don't. But tonight you should come to Christ. Will you come and have a word with us? I can't save you, but I can point you to Christ. Thank God He truly saves. Oh, come to the Savior. Either make your way to one of the rooms behind the pulpit here, or else come and see me at the door as I'm shaking hands with the folk leaving, and ask to have a word with me. But oh, be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless thy word. Give fruit for the preaching of it, we pray. Grant that as we separate one from another, thy Holy Spirit will not give up souls who are yet rebelling and holding out against God. Lord, be merciful to sinners. Save souls tonight, we pray. And part us with thy blessing. Keep us, we pray, in thy fear, which is the beginning of all knowledge and all wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this night and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.